Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Now this is a snappy song, Joseph. What is this?
35 Millimeter Dreams by Garland Jeffries.
I never heard of him. I've heard of Judy Garland.
I know, he's got a first name last and a last name first.
That is so weird. That's like an application. But this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and the lovely Trisha.
Is this like one of those really, really hard to find records?
I think it might be one of those 45 RPMs.
Right.
Hey, tied that back in.
Mm-hmm. It is lovely. All right, back to you, Joseph.
All right. Well,
when you said the name Garland, the only Garland I could think
Judy.
Of. Well, no, not no.
Jeff Garland. Person,
No. It's Garland Green and Con Air, Steve Buscemi's character, who turns out to actually be pretty nice. But yeah, it was pretty interesting. But yeah, this segment's brought to you by North Mountain Brewing Company. Get out there, 522 East Dunlap Avenue, and of course visit them, NorthMountainBrewingCompany.com. A lot of great things going on for tomorrow. If you want to do Sunday brunch, they got that going on there from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. So check it out again, North Mountain Brewing Company.
God, Dave gets really excited.
NorthMountainBrewing.com is the company out. NorthMountBrewing.com.
You're doing like some mystic.
Yeah, I don't know what
it
is.
Going like this with the
desk.
I just love that place.
His eyes glass.
It is phenomenal.
I know. I just remember the shepherd pie and the
it's like
the
a shark
chicken sandwich
when he's eating and his eyes roll back.
I know.
Yeah.
He's a man who loves his food. But we all do.
But it's not just that. It's the atmosphere there. Yeah. It's like family. It's like you're sitting down the way the tables are set up and everything. It's just kind of really a good, nice atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I didn't mean for North Mountain. I just mean in general. He loves his food.
Yes.
We all do.
Well, let's talk about one of the other... This is, of course, our Phoenix Film Festival special, but let's talk about another one of the other movies that is coming out in general release. Came out yesterday. It's called Cheap Thrills, okay? Now, did you see the trailer for this, Dave?
I saw the trailer. Should I wait till I...
Well, let me tell the synopsis, yeah, and then I want to hear what you thought about the trailer. Pat Healy plays a struggling family man who, along with his friend, played by Ethan Embry, is roped into a series of increasingly dangerous dares by an obscenely wealthy stranger, played by David Koechner, and his mysterious wife, the very beautiful Sarah Paxton. Right? We've talked
Wait,
about her.
Wait, she plays David Koechner's wife in the film?
Yes.
Good for David.
I know, good for David. Well, because he's very, very wealthy.
Oh,
he's got
okay.
a lot of money, so of course. Yeah. And she's very silent
now,
in this movie.
Wait a minute here.
Wait a
what?
Minute.
Just because a man is wealthy doesn't mean he gets a truly beautiful woman.
Okay, I would like to see Sarah Paxton, you know, go on have a relationship with me.
With you? You're
Why
talented.
With you? You already have a relationship
no,
with a beautiful
woman. No, not with me.
Woman.
I mean, of course said, you would, because you are a nice human being.
Talented, but not wealthy.
You're nice.
Nice doesn't get you anywhere, I've learned.
I think nice gets
you. No, you're hanging out with the wrong crowd, if you know that.
Have we ever found out why Ethan Embry changed his last name when he was younger?
No, we didn't, but we did interview him. I do have some interview clips with him, and he was just, I know you don't like this word, but he was delightful.
I like the word. I like the word.
It just sounds weird to me.
Oh, delightful.
I think
that
Dave
weird.
Has used it before.
Yes.
Well,
delightful.
You're right.
He loves to use delightful.
Yes. No, but he is a very talented actor.
It only sounds weird when Dave says it.
It does. Because it sounds like he's scripting it, like he's reading something that says delightful, but not Joseph.
Well, no, it is such an amazing cast. You got Pat Healy, who, of course, was in... I can't remember the name of the movie last year. Started with a C. Look it up.
I will get that for you.
But Ethan Embry, of course, is just so talented. David Koechner, a very funny guy. Sarah Paxton is beautiful and just so talented as well.
And he's going to be in Captain America.
And she's
Pat
available.
Healy's in Captain
Compliance.
Compliance. Oh, Compliance is one of my favorite
Daniels,
movies of all time.
Did I tell you I saw The Purge?
Okay, well, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We'll talk about that later, David.
Yes, okay. So, Cheap Thrills, before I tell you what I thought of the film,
yes,
I want you to tell me what you thought of the trailer, because it's a very distinct film here, and what you thought that I thought of the movie.
I thought it took a terrible turn to sadistic type of stuff from the trailer, I could tell. I don't think you liked it. I thought it was just what... It looked like on the trailer, very disgusting stuff.
Has anyone else seen the trailer for Cheap Thrills?
No, I'm looking at the picture.
I have not.
Now.
Not that I know of.
It looks interesting.
Well, again, it's about a guy and his friend who they do, you know, increasingly dangerous dares when this wealthy guy and his wife dare them for money. It's like, you know, I'll give you. It starts off small. You know, I'll give you $20 if you drink this shot. You know, really quick.
Well, the one in the trailer, it was that. And the second one, I'll give you $100 if you slap the
woman at the club.
The little Fanny.
Yes. And then also if you punch the bouncer.
Yeah, 800. That was worth $800.
Yeah.
Bucks.
And it goes, I mean, so if you can imagine $800 to punch it.
That actually sounds phenomenal.
By the way, it sounds like a great picture.
No, at $25,000, you wouldn't believe what they had to do, though.
It's a ripoff of that segment in movie 43 where Halle Berry and...
It is.
Yeah, it's very much like that,
They get that bet going.
And there's a few movies like this. And, you know, who among us has not done something mortifying for money, or at least... have been foolish enough to accept a degrading dare in an effort, just to prove a point. I mean, I'm guilty of this, of course, my slap bet, right? That was horribly degrading, and I regret it now. And I went to my spoon thing, to the St. Patrick's Day party, and went to all the women and asked if they wanted a spoon, right? And that wasn't even for money.
And every time you wore those red boots...
Yes, and every time, so I am just I love these dares. So needless to say, I love this movie.
Oh, you did.
This is an amazing movie, one of the best movies I've seen so far this year. It is not a breakthrough, but very, very close. I'm giving it a thumbs up. You know, the new dark comedy takes the scenario to new, not to mention shocking, heights. You know, those things that you saw in the trailer, that is nothing compared. They can't show you the stuff.
After 25,000? That was sort of shocking.
Well, it gets even worse than that. It's you talk about eating certain things. Yeah, you don't want to know what they eat in this movie. It will turn
flamingos.
Your stomach.
You know,
worse than that.
It's one thing I think too that it starts small and it starts relatively innocent.
Yeah, and you know who wouldn't do these things?
And well, you know, if somebody came up to you and they told you, I didn't see the trailer, but they said, you know, the $25,000 bet as the leadoff bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd say no, thank
they
you.
They would do.
Yeah. It's like a frog. If you put it in hot water, then it's going to jump right out. But if you boil it slowly, and that's exactly what happens
human
here.
Human nature.
And it says a lot about you know what we want, what we'll do for money, because a lot of us are hurting for money. And you know, so you're going to walk out of some people are going to walk out of the theater in the middle of this movie. Around that bet that I was telling you about, that when you eat, when they eat something. But for the few of us, I'm going to guess Greg and Eric and myself,
yes,
with a truly twisted sense of humor, this amoral masterpiece is entertainment at its very best. It forces us to ask ourselves about the lengths that we are willing to go to and the boundaries that we would be willing to cross to better our circumstances in life. I think a lot of us would find it very difficult to not accept these dares.
Would you do 25,000, whatever that was, for Sarah Paxton?
Of course.
Oh, really? Really?
I think you guys are talking about two different things.
Oh, we might be talking
Talking about something you saw in the trailer.
I'm talking about something from the movie.
That's a
I don't want to spoil it. Because,
I didn't mean that one. The other one.
What about David Koch? If they
no.
No.
Well.
Okay.
No.
I'm giving it a shot.
100,000?
But I do have to disagree, though, that money doesn't necessarily better your circumstances.
No, it doesn't. But when you're in the heat of the moment,
this
guy's just lost his job. He's he's got a wife and a kid.
That's
and
right.
They are going to be kicked out of their apartment. And he loves his wife. And the last shot
Does
of this
he
movie.
Does he love his kid?
Yes, he loves his wife and he loves
last
the kid.
Last shot of the movie.
The last shot of the movie is so, it's shocking, but it tells you so much about what this movie is about. And it's not just thrills. I mean, that's, you know, what gets you through it. But by the end of the movie, you're really thinking about, wow, okay, what this guy did, the winner, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but the winner of this movie, the winner of this game that they play, he went through all this not just for some simple, silly reason. He did it to better his circumstances, and he did it because he has a passion, a very significant passion for the people that he loves. So, and I don't want to reveal too much about it. If I say too much, it'll
and this
it.
Is
gives it a redeeming value.
Yes,
and this is not at the Phoenix Film Festival, right?
No, this is not at the Phoenix Film Festival. Yeah, it was
Shea 14 or Camel View.
I think it might be at Valley Art.
Oh, Valley Art.
Think.
Oh, okay.
Possibly.
I'm 0-2
yeah,
there.
If you want to check, I'm not sure. It's one of them, but it's definitely worth checking out. And before we get to our interview clips with Ethan Embry, I think that we have something special from Eric that he might want to play.
This is a song that my band recorded some time ago.
Your band?
It's called Cheap Thrills.
Oh, there we go.
I just happened to have a song named Cheap Thrills, so here it is.
I feel like we're back in 1985. I love it.
Eric, what did you play?
I'm playing all the drums and keyboards.
Wow.
And you're the drummer?
I'm playing everything except the guitar. Yeah, I mean, it's all programmed, but... Yeah.
I can see it now, Anthony Michael Hall just popping up, Molly Ringwald. But this is great.
Yeah, this is probably recorded in, I think this was probably 86.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And where can we buy this? Is it on iTunes?
No. I never deal with iTunes. I guess I could load the stuff up there and then sell it, see how that goes, but
yeah.
Wait, who's your manager?
he still lives out in LA.
No, it's supposed to be me.
You. Yeah, you.
That's testing you. I don't live in LA.
It's all those drugs.
Well, yes, it was. But at the time, the manager, he's still out in L.A.
Oh.
Well, see, your manager should have been selling this song to the
45
filmmakers.
RPM.
No, well, that too, but also to Cheap Thrills, the
right.
movie.
I know. Well, they didn't
it
know about
this,
it.
The title
I
song.
I didn't know they were making the movie and all that stuff.
Oh.
See, speaking with me though, as your manager now.
Yes, yeah, see, you should have a library, a catalog of all my music
yeah.
and all the films I've been in, and so you can, like, push it.
I think it's a great idea.
Speaking of L.A., a lot of shaking going on there from last night, even into this morning, up until a couple hours
ago.
Just a little vibration. In
the five range, that's getting up there.
Well, yeah, one in the five.
Wasn't there a bigger one up in way north California just the other, like a couple weeks ago?
I don't know. I don't care about northern California.
Good vibration.
Why would I? I live in Arizona.
Southern California I care about. But
And speaking of shaking, you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to transition to our Ethan Embry sound bites, but I was shaking with excitement to talk to Ethan Embry. He's one of my favorite actors ever since Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, great in that.
By the way, he does not like as much as I do.
Really?
You can listen to the full interview on breakradioshow.com, but I also loved him in Freaky Links, that TV show.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Never saw it, but yeah.
That was great. He respects that one as much as I do. But I asked him about his interest, because I had a chance to speak with him on the phone, I believe last week or 2 weeks ago, about Cheap Thrills. Very, very honored to speak with him. But I asked him about his interest, why he was interested in Cheap Thrills, and this is what he had to say.
Me to it was the script. I think that they really did a great job with this script, because it so well touches on what so much of the world, the United States in particular, is going through right now, which is economic struggles, the disparity between the 1 and the 99%. So it touches on things that we can all identify with, and then puts them in a completely outlandish situation, and it just gets nuttier and nuttier and crazier and crazier. And when you read the script, it's going to be something that triggers a lot of different emotions in its audience, from laughter to fear. There even is a little bit of sadness, and for me, that's all I want to do, is trigger an emotional response in people.
And you will definitely get an emotional response one way or the other in Cheap Thrills. Again, it's excellent. And I asked him also about the takeaway, what he hopes the audiences take away from watching Cheap Thrills. And this is what Ethan Embry had to say.
First of all, it's fun. That's the main goal of Cheap Thrills. The film in itself is a thrill. I don't want to overanalyze and try to make it into something that it's not. But it does touch on the corporate world that we live in and how a lot of the things that drive our daily lives are run and controlled by psychopaths. In a way, David Koechner plays the puppet master, that ultimate psychopath that is controlling Pat and I. In a whole, it's sort of a touch on modern civilization. But bottom line of it, it's a crazy ride. It's a popcorn thrower. It's a thriller that leaves you thinking after.
Yes, and so definitely, it left me thinking about which of these I would do, and which of them I would not do, and how much money it would take, and all that stuff.
We can go over our lists once I see it. Yeah. You know what I would do, what you would do, and go from there.
Yeah, and which ones I would actually do, not to get paid for, just to say that I'd be able to
just
do them.
To do it, yeah.
Which is really interesting for our next quote from Ethan Embry. I asked him about what he learned about himself over the course of making this movie, and he learned something very significant about human nature, not during the making of the movie, but during the screenings. Here's what he had to say.
I've learned a lot about people throughout the screenings that we've had for the movie. Sometimes what we've done is have the audience do certain things or dares. The fact of the matter is people will volunteer for anything. You can get people to do anything, and it's crazy. And most of the time, we haven't even presented a reward to them. Like there was one guy that got the name of the movie tattooed on his butt before he had ever even seen the movie, and he didn't have any tattoos before that. The other night, we got three people in the audience to volunteer before they even knew what they were going to do. We got three people to volunteer, and they all saw an entire lime's worth of juice into their eyes. People will do anything. I don't know what it is about human nature, but you'll always be shocked at what they will volunteer to do.
Yeah, so, you know, that's amazing. I wish that I would have been at one of these screenings just to see some of these things live in action.
If you put all that lime juice in your eye, you wouldn't see anything.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but that gives you a taste of what's in the movie.
I'm excited to see it. Yeah. And as you said, Ethan Embry's been great. I'm shocked, though, with the Can't Hardly Wait situation, because it's a cult teen classic.
I know. I said it was one of my favorites.
It is. From our age range, you know, at the time in 98, you know, so we were middle school or getting into high school type. And what's interesting, out of Ethan Embry, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Peter Facinelli, some great actors in the film, the one, though, who now is probably the most famous is one that just had a very small role that most people don't recognize, and that would be Jason Segel when he was 17 That's or 18 right. years old in the watermelon scene. It's this one little scene. Yeah. And now we know Jason Segel today. And I love when that happens in film, when you see, you know, teen movies like that. And, you know, when you see one guy, girl that has just a small role. And then obviously years later, there's something humongous.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I, as guys, love Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah.
You know, women love Can't Hardly Wait.
They all, absolutely.
And, including my friend Christine.
And they all want a piece of Ethan Embry from
That's
it.
The thing. Christine, my friend, she It had such a big crush on Ethan Embry that she actually had a crush on a guy at one of my bar crawls simply because he resembled Ethan Embry when he was younger, like in the Can't Hardly Wait era.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had him do a shout out to Christine, and she was thrilled. I hope that got me a lot of points, because
that's like the movie reviewed last week. The lookalike Ed Harris.
Doppelgangers.
Yes, the doppelgangers. Yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't the name of the movie.
No.
Face of Love.
Face of Love, yes. But this one is Cheap Thrills. I highly recommend you going out to see it. It is it's such an amazing movie. I think that, again, Greg, it's right up your alley. Eric, you're going to love the movie as well, Cheap Thrills. I know you say you often don't agree with me, but I know that you're going to agree with
me. Yeah, I have a twisted sense of humor, and that sounds pretty fun to me.
Have you ever seen The Brass Teapot?
Yes, I have.
Did you like that?
I did.
You're going to love this. Okay. It's along the same sort of lines. And how about Would You Rather?
I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen that one either, but I hear it's very similar. And there's another movie in a couple weeks that we're going to talk about. It's called 13 Sins, which is very, very similar to this as well. Uh-huh. But in the meantime, check out Cheap Thrills. Big, strong thumbs up. Again, very close to a breakthrough. One of the most entertaining movies that you will see all year. And now taking us into our break is another movie about songs, Western Movies by the Olympics.
Songs about movies.
Yeah, songs about movies. Western Movies by the Olympics.
Who are the Olympics?
Oh.
So she?
My baby loves the Western movies.
Never heard that.
You never heard this song?
Do another one. I can't recognize it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got sound effects and everything.
Oh, that is just lovely. And we are Breakthrough Entertainment, live 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
When I was born, my mother died. She said, bye bye, baby, bye bye. I said, where you going? I'm just born. She said, I'll only be gone.
And Joseph, tell us about this particular song.
Well, that's why God made the movies, that's Paul Simon.
Oh, I love Paul Simon.
Movie. See,
50 like Ways that. To Leave Your Lover.
Okay.
What, but
are
it
you
assumes
telling us
you have to, no.
You're getting eyes.
No. You have to assume you have to have a lover for 50 Ways to Leave Her.
Next week, we're actually reviewing a movie called The 10 Rules of Sleeping Around.
The 10 Rules of Sleeping Around.
Yes.
I didn't know I published
so
that
learn,
book.
Yeah, you can learn some tricks.
Some tricks?
Cheap tricks? I know cheap tricks.
Cheap thrills.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Cheap that's thrills. Right. Well, see, I'm just combining the two. Yes.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, Joseph Verdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and the lovely Trisha. Okay. Yeah. Hey, I like how you do. That sounds like a Bubble Up commercial. Right.
And we're playing. All of our songs today are about movies. Not about all of our movies are about songs, but all of our songs are about movies. And that's because this is our Phoenix Film Festival special. We've been talking all about my four favorite films from the Phoenix Film Festival. I am one of the judges of the feature competitions, the competition feature films, and I've seen all 10 of them. I picked out my four favorites, and one of them is our next film that we're going to talk about. It's called Teddy Bears, and we are honored to have on writer-director Thomas Beattie and co-director Rebecca Fishman. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
So this is so exciting. Well, let me tell our listeners a little bit about the film first and when they can see it during the Phoenix Film Festival. Jillian Jacobs, Zachary Knighton, Melanie Linsky, Anna O'Reilly, and Jason Ritter play people who head to the desert to help their friend, David Krumholtz, heal from the loss of his mother. It's screening 5:15 p.m. Friday, April 4th, 11:15 a.m. Saturday, April 5th, and 2:15 p.m. Sunday, April 6th. And so that's when it's all at the Phoenix Film Festival. And again, that's at Harkin Scottsdale 101. And first of all, I want to say what an amazing cast you guys have in this movie.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
We got very lucky.
Yeah, I am such a big fan of Jillian Jacobs. One of my favorite TV shows right now is Community. She's beautiful, so funny and talented. And I know that, Greg, you saw one name and you said, this movie is right up your alley.
Right when I saw David Krumholtz, I'm like, this is for me.
Yeah, and he's the star. So I didn't want to say this. How can you put it politically correct? What does David Krumholtz's character propose in the film?
Well, I agree about Krumholtz, by the way. I remember being a kid and watching him in Santa Claus and turning to my sister when we were like 10 years old and being like, that kid's got talent. He's going somewhere, that guy.
Absolutely.
You want to say what he wants, honey, or you want me to?
We're married, by the way. Yes.
So Krumholtz, he's had a really bad year, and he's obviously not in a very good place, and he invites his friends out to the desert because in his mind he's decided that the thing that is going to heal him is for all of his best friend's girlfriends to have sex with him at the same time.
Hmm. Right. Yeah. So interesting proposal. And, you know, I have to say,
Greg just left the building to see the movie.
Well, you know, and when you see these three actresses, I mean, Anna O'Reilly, she is just so gorgeous.
She's really, I mean, she's amazing. She's someone who was actually friends of ours, and it was a couple years ago we first started hearing about her and how great she was and that she was in this movie, The Help, and then we were just blown away by her, you know, just seeing her in other things and in the audition process, and she's just the most lovely human being. We felt very lucky to have her come out on this desert adventure with us.
And, of course, the one actress that we didn't mention yet might be your lucky charm. Melanie Linsky is in this movie. She was in last year's Phoenix Film Festival. This is the movie that won. Putzel. It was also one of our favorite films. It was one that we featured on Breakthrough Entertainment. So I think that she might be your lucky charm.
Oh, great. Let's hope so. That was great, that movie. That was, we screened with that at Seattle, and the cast, again, it was just such a wonderful group of people, and I think that you get really lucky if you just have good people involved in a movie.
And Thomas and Rebecca, you wrote the movie, you directed it as well. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, it was semi-based in reality. Thomas and I are married, and we're not married at the time that he wrote it. We had just kind of gone through a really difficult time in our relationship, and although Thomas did not ask all of my girlfriends to sleep with him, we did go out with our friends to the same house that is in the movie. We go out there every year with our friends for New Year's. And it was during this kind of dark time that we were out there for New Year's, and Thomas got this idea to write this movie, and basically sat down and wrote it in one fell swoop. And it didn't really change a whole lot after that first draft, which is kind of amazing. But it came out of a dark time in our relationship, and happily we got through it, but we kind of worked through some of those issues through the film.
And I think that that's where a lot of comedy comes from, is through those dark times. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
And I know where I'm going next New Year's Eve.
I know. Is that in Arizona? Is it?
No, Joshua Tree. It's in California desert. It's really, you know, we shot right at the end of the world, it feels like. It's right, there's an army base there, and then when you go beyond that, there's just nothing. It's just desert pretty much straight through to Arizona.
Well, and it's definitely one of those settings where you say that the setting takes on a character of its own.
Absolutely, and that was something we really tried to highlight in the film, and the way we shot the film, was that we wanted the desert to be its own character. Because it does feel like that when you're out there. I'm sure you know this, living in the desert, that it's wild, you know, wild, weird things happen in the desert that don't happen in other places.
Well, and I think the whole, you know, sleeping with all of your girlfriend's friends, I think, you know, that's kind of a running theory that's like every man's fantasy anyway. So I like the way that you bring that twist into it, though, that it's also during this dark time and coming out of it. That's very impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That, I mean, I had a thought that was not dissimilar to the thought that David has. I was feeling really sorry for myself one day in the desert. Everyone else was out, and I just had this thought, like, everything would just be better if everyone would just, like, really take care of me in this very basic way. And I was so blown away that I even had the thought. I was like, I genuinely thought that. It wasn't a joke. That's, my brain said to me, this is what we should do. And I, kind of the comedy for myself, just, I was just lying in bed and laughing about that. That was the springboard for the movie. And originally we were like, this kind of seems like an Apatow comedy, but we just set out to write it really true to ourselves and our experience, and it turned into this other kind of, this thing that we're really proud of.
And it turned out terrifically. And, you know, I mentioned Anna O'Reilly again. She's beautiful. She's very talented. But, you know, as a judge, I get to pick, you know, who I would say have breakthrough performances. And I wrote down two names. One of them was Jillian Jacobs. I thought she was great in the film, very funny. But the one that I thought just blew me away, he's been a favorite of mine. His father was a favorite of mine, Jason Ritter. He is amazing in this movie.
He really is, yeah.
He is an actor who can pretty much do anything. And I didn't really know his work into filming, but seeing him, he just is so funny, but he also has so much pathos, and he brings the depth of feeling to everything. Even when he's hilarious, he can do anything, honestly.
Yeah. And, you know, this when I first, I met with Gillian because she had read the script pretty early on in the casting process. And just sitting down with her, I was so, because I'm a huge Community fan too, but I was so struck by how much there was to her as a person, and I assumed as an actress, that you didn't get to see on Community. And so, yeah, I agree with the two of them. It was just a pleasure to watch them.
Right. Two very funny people who are actually much, you know, comedy gives you some room to grow, but really they both can do anything, you know, drama, comedy, their range is huge.
Yes, and the entire ensemble is amazing, and again the writing is great as well. But and we're just so honored to have you on the show. And I'm curious, are you going to be out at the Phoenix Film Festival, and are we going to be able to meet any of these cast members?
I will be there. Rebecca and I we are in the midst of our next big project, which is a baby who's about 6 weeks old right now. So we couldn't.
Congratulations!
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
She's in the other room with Grandma right now.
yeah, sadly, I will not be able to come, but Thomas will definitely be there.
I will be there for the whole time, and I'm not sure about the cast. We had talked with Dave about David maybe coming out for a bit. I know his sister is in Phoenix, but they are all much more busy than us.
Yes. Well, and of course, our listeners might not know this. I don't even know if Dave knows this. But, Thomas, your father is in this movie. His name is Ned, right? Did you put that together, Dave?
Ned Beatty.
So was that just kind of like a nod, or did he really want to do this? Tell us the story behind getting your father on this film.
It's funny, actually, because Jason's dad and my dad were friends back in the day. And I think Jason and I met when we were, like, 3 years old. We put that together at some point. We're like, oh yeah, who knew then that we'd be out in the desert together. I was terrified to ask my dad. I mean, his part was not in the movie in early draft. And then we were kind of casting and talking about great people we could bring in. And one day it was like, wait a minute, we have a movie without your dad in it. And he's like one of, my favorite actors. So we then were out scouting in the desert. And we met this crazy guy. He was just amazing. This old guy who lived in a trailer next to the house that we were shooting in. And I talked to him for probably half an hour and just spent the entire time concentrating so hard on remembering every word he said. And then I basically just copied everything he said down. And it's not exactly verbatim, but close to verbatim to what the guy that my dad plays in the movie says.
Wow.
And yeah, it's amazing. This guy is really something.
Yes.
And my dad, was pretty scared to have him come do it just because, it was intimidating. Here's someone who's worked with the greatest directors and writers of all time, and he just could not have been more gracious and generous. I think it was great for the cast, these sort of younger actors, to get to work with and spend time with someone who's been doing it, since before they were born. And he couldn't have been sweeter about it. And I really got a new window into him as a person, kind of being in this different role with him, and it was a really lovely experience and one I'll take with me forever.
Well, the way I kind of picture this is this film prior to your actual child being born, this film is like your baby.
Oh, it has totally been our baby.
Absolutely.
So this is your dad as a grandfather to this baby.
That's right, there you go, yeah.
So of course he's gonna put his heart into it, right?
That's right, yeah.
So you're going to come to Phoenix and take care of the one baby, and your wife is going to stay there and take care of the other baby.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
Right.
That's wonderful.
And it turns out that night shoots are really the only way to prepare for a newborn. So
that's also true.
Wow. And something that we've been asking all of our guests today on behalf of the Phoenix Film Festival, ultimately, what do you want audiences to take away from Teddy Bears with its such outlandish plot? What ultimately do you want them to feel or experience? What's the message here?
Well, first of all, I am going to say if anyone is interested in the movie and can't see it in Phoenix this weekend, it is going to be coming out. We can't share details yet, but if you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, it's actually going to have a new title when it comes out because we live in a VOD world and Teddy Bear sounds like a kid's movie. So the title will be The Big Ass. And as we've discussed, we all know what the big ask is in the movie. So please, everyone, look out for it. And what we hope to get from audiences is just that they are willing to come on this kind of crazy journey with us that's very personal and that it makes them feel something. I think that's the thing that's been most encouraging when we've shown the movie up to now is that people have actually had an emotional reaction to it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, having this based somewhat in reality gives it that feel of Veritas.
Yeah, well, we hope so. We hope that it rings true for people and that, the kind of outlandish premise, if you stick with it, will actually turn into something very real for people. Yeah.
And maybe it's just because we live in Arizona, we know what teddy bears refers to, the cacti, the cholla. I like that title, you know, personally better. Maybe that's just because I know it as that and I've seen the art with that and everything. But
you are the only person.
Really? Okay.
Who knows what a teddy bear is? But yeah, you, listen, we... if only the title could actually be a teddy bear cactus, so we could show everyone on the TV.
Okay, well, you know, again, the film is called Teddy Bears. It is playing at the Phoenix Film Festival. It is one of my four favorite films playing at the Phoenix Film Festival. It is screening 5:15 p.m. Friday, April 4th, 11:15 a.m. Saturday, April 5th, and 2:15 p.m. Sunday, April 6th. It is the cream of the competition crop, and we are so honored to have had on writer-director Thomas Beattie and co-director, his wife, Rebecca Fishman. Thank you so much for joining us. We cannot wait to meet you, Thomas, at the festival, and we hope that one of the cast members can come out.
Thanks so much for having us on.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
We'll see you there.
Okay, take care.
Ciao.
That's sort of interesting, really. Sort of based on a thought that Thomas had.
Yeah, and, who hasn't been there, right?
I was going to say, come on, guys, you got to admit it.
Well, they go there every New Year's Eve, and you know where I'm going next New Year's Eve.
I bet.
Wait. No separate vacation?
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. Guess where we're going.
Well, you know, that's a...
Uh-oh.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, is that it's not separately. They didn't want...
I'm not bringing in my girlfriends on New Year's.
Well, that's the thing. He wants
all three
at the same time, if you know what I mean.
It was interesting, though.
But I would just take Anna O'Reilly or Gillian Jacobs all by themselves, or Melanie Lynskey, but definitely Anna. She's
dropped. Okay, just as an aside, because I've always... Don't you think if that fantasy ever were to come true, wouldn't that be slightly overwhelming?
It would.
I mean, especially how the heck would you be able to take care of all three of them at the same time?
I don't even think I could take care of Anna O'Reilly. She's, you know, she's gorgeous. And Gillian Jacobs, I'd love to be her friend. She's just so funny on Community, but also gorgeous. But again, go check out Teddy Bears. It's one of my favorite.
I like Melanie Lynskey. I've seen her many times.
Yeah, she started in Drive with Emma Stone, a Fox TV show that was excellent.
She's a really good actress, though.
Yeah, she really definitely good. Is.
Wow.
And, well, taking us into our break is Paul Simon again singing Kodachrome, right?
Yeah, but he's not talking about movies. He's talking about taking pictures with a camera.
Okay, well, you need to have production stills, you know. And this song is just amazing.
It's a great song.
Yes, it is. At all. Yeah. Dave, you know this song?
Boom, boom. I do know this song. I was admiring Sebastian's haircut. A great hair. Yeah, he's looking at my hair. I need a haircut. There's no doubt about it. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
I used to watch that game show, Hollywood Squares. It was great. I don't know the song, but I know the...
Oh, this isn't the song for that?
Is it?
Oh, okay. I've heard this in a lot of movies.
Yeah, we played it before.
My favorite's Roll Bounce. Yeah, yeah. Where you got the froze going on.
Cool in the Gang.
That's some good stuff. It's a great song. Probably not a song you'll hear at the North Mountain Brewing Company, of course. This segment also brought to you by North Mountain Brewing Company, 522 East Dunlap Avenue. Get out there again. Go to northmountainbrewing.com. Tomorrow, late morning, if you want to do some brunch, get out there 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Every Sunday, they got Sunday brunch. So northmountainbrewing.com.
And speaking of music, they have live musicians performing over there sometimes, too. I mean, they've kind of mixed it up every once in a while.
Eric in the Tumbleweeds.
Really? I never heard of the Eric. I've heard of the Tumbleweeds.
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening to Joseph make fun of me.
Oh. No, I wasn't making
fun of you. We always make fun of you, Eric.
I couldn't think of something quick enough, and I was going to say Eric and the Teddy Bears, but...
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment.
But I always thought your name was Reinhardt. I just am
Reiner,
starting
Reiner,
to figure out
Reinhardt.
It's Reinhardt.
Live.
No H.
Reinhardt.
1480.
Yeah. No, I was saying like Reinhardt.
Oh, I'm sorry, Johnny. Are you still here?
KPHX. Back to Joseph Erdo. No, I'm Dave Isaac. Joseph Erdo. Greg Isaac. Eric Reinhardt. No, Reinhardt.
Joseph, I saw...
And of course, Trisha.
I did see a movie, but I'll wait because I think you have one more to review,
We've got three movies that we'll go over fairly quickly, and we'll get to some movies that you guys have seen.
Okay.
Blood Ties. We got three more movies. These are in general release. These are not playing at the Phoenix Film Festival. These are general release. They came out yesterday. Blood Ties stars Clive Owen and Billy Crudup as brothers who, on either side of the law, face off against organized crime in Brooklyn during the 1970s. Marion Cotillard, Mila Kunis, Zoe Saldana, and James Caan also star. Pretty good cast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love those two last ladies.
I love Mila Kunis.
The two last ladies. Mila
They're going
Kunis,
to the New Year's Eve party in the desert.
Isn't Mila pregnant now? Her and Ashton Kutcher.
Can you imagine how beautiful that baby's going to be?
It might end up looking like me. We don't want to tell Ashton.
Whoa, careful there.
Oh, he's out of town, that thing?
What do you think of the trailer, Dave, of Blood Ties?
I thought it looked good, actually. I can't remember much of it. I must have been thinking of Teddy Bears. But other than that, I think it had promise.
Yeah, I think it'd be right up your alley. Unfortunately, it wasn't up my alley.
Oh, it wasn't up your alley?
No, I'm giving it a thumbs down. It boasts a simply spectacular soundtrack. The music in this movie is just amazing. If you love the 70s music, it's just, outstanding. It's an amazingly authentic atmosphere. I mean, this looks like a movie out of the 70s. And the cast of actors whose combined talent is enough to bring down the entire organized crime community of the 1970s in Brooklyn. With so much going for it, how could anything go wrong? You know, it was just unfortunately very crazily convoluted. The story went everywhere and nowhere at the same time. There's too many characters to keep track of, too many subplots to follow, problems that are only made worse by placid pacing. This is a very slow movie, and a very long runtime.
It looks sort of similar to We Own the Night. Is it kind of like
It is
that?
Very similar to We Own the Night, except for We Own the Night is amazing.
Right. No, it was phenomenal.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because the cinematography in that movie, if you remember some of the first-hand scenes, you know, looking through the dust and stuff like that.
I'm just thinking of the Eva Mendes scene. But,
well, do not go see Blood Ties.
Another beautiful woman. Eva. Yes.
Do not go see Blood Ties. Rent We Own the Night instead. Now let's talk about Le Weekend. Jim Broadbent and Lindsay Duncan play
what type of weekend was
Le that? Weekend.
Oh, okay. Le Weekend.
Jim Broadbent and Lindsay Duncan.
Parlez-vous français.
They play a long married couple. What?
Nothing against Lindsay Duncan and Jim Broadbent. They're great. But you didn't mention Jeff Goldblum.
Well, I didn't even put the synopsis yet.
It doesn't matter. You got to have Jeff
he's
Goldblum
not the star.
At the front. Doesn't matter. He's Jeff Goldblum.
they play a long
there's
married...
man and then there's Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, that's true. But Jim and Lindsay play a long married couple who revisit Paris for a long weekend for the first time since their honeymoon in hopes of rekindling their relationship. Or perhaps to bring it to an end, they've got to come, you know, figure out what they want to do here.
Sure,
of course, Jeff Goldblum is there to help them along the way.
Absolutely.
Remember the trailer for this, Dave?
I do. I thought it looked cute.
Yeah, and I think...
delightful.
Okay, we'll live with that. All right.
Well, Le Weekend is actually very similar to Before Midnight.
However,
I think that you actually might like Le Weekend.
Because it has a nude shot of the old lady?
No, because Jeff Goldblum's
actually,
in it.
They could have. There's a scene like that, but they didn't show
But I like the one in After Midnight, or Before Midnight, with Julie, what's her name?
Julie Delpy, yes.
That was the best part of the movie.
Careful there. So, at times, Le Weekend resembles Before Midnight and its two predecessors, Before Sunrise and Before Sunset. Hmm. It takes a patient and candid look at a realistic relationship between two people. However, you know, the thing that with Before Midnight, I had a relationship with those two people. I saw them in the two other movies. I didn't know these characters, and so I didn't feel for them. You might actually like Le Weekend better because you don't have the relationship prior to that. It's not depending
on
that.
I guarantee I like it better because I couldn't like it any worse.
Okay, well, I love Before Midnight. This, I didn't hate, but I'm giving it a thumbs down. I didn't feel a connection with them.
Thumbs sideways?
No, it's all the way down. I don't give thumbs sideways.
Oh.
I didn't care enough about their problems. I wasn't encouraged to celebrate any of their joys. There's a handful of amusing scenes, thanks primarily to the tremendous talent of these two stars, as well as Jeff Goldblum. I won't leave him out. But the dramedy falls mostly flat. Again, I'm giving a thumbs down.
Okay.
And finally, another movie that came out yesterday, Maladies. James Franco plays a talented and successful actor who retires at a young age due to a perceived mental illness. He thinks he hears these voices. Maybe they're real. Maybe they're not. Now living in a small town with his deranged sister, played by Fallon Goodson, who's very attractive. I point out all the attractive people, apparently. And his best friend, Catherine Keener, who I bet you find attractive.
Why? Why do you say that, young Joseph?
I don't know.
I like her as an actress.
Okay.
Are you saying that we're similar ages? Is that why? I
yes.
knew it. Or do you think I'm the 40-year-old virgin?
That too. 40-year-old virgin is a good movie. We learned a lot from Catherine Keener.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I did too. I was the stunt man.
Oh, very good. We watch as the characters' maladies intertwine. Did you remember the trailer for this movie at all?
Vaguely.
Vaguely? All right. You know, I vaguely remember the movie, too, because I'm giving it a thumbs down. It's a movie that's solely for James Franco's most hardcore fans, the only ones who follow the actor's various artistic efforts that extend far beyond the silver screen. We know that James Franco does a lot of things, right?
Yeah, well, speaking of James Franco, is that he might be the busiest guy in Hollywood right now. Unbelievable what he still has coming out soon. I'm really looking forward to Sausage Party, the animated film with Seth Rogen.
Yes.
I believe Evan Goldberg's probably also behind the scenes on that. It looks phenomenal. 2015, though, we got to wait a little bit.
Yeah, and a lot of James Franco's movies are a lot better than this.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a decent performance here, but it's a performance experiment for Franco, not really an entertainment piece of entertainment. There's a couple of amusing aspects of the film. You know, James Franco communicates with an omnipresent narrator, and then you also got Catherine Keener defending her decision to occasionally dress up as a man. So maybe you won't be attracted to her in this movie. But as a whole, the motion picture is particularly pointless. Again, I'm giving it a thumbs down.
Ooh.
So my pick for the week is if you're into something very significant, go see Cesar Chavez. If you are into something really fun,
like
go
into
see
Cheap Thrills,
go see Cheap Thrills. Yeah, you will be changed But so what have you two seen?
I saw crap. The Mortal Instruments. I watched 10 minutes of it, and then I decided again.
We got you interested with our young
I was curious. I noticed. I'm like, okay, let me give it a try so I could talk about it. But I could only get through 10 minutes. Lily Collins is a great young actress, and if she shaves her eyebrows, she'd be...
Shaves them completely? Yeah,
she'd be amazing. Yeah, you know, and I don't want to upset her dad, you know, because he might sing a song about me. But no, she's great and all. But yeah, the movie itself and that blonde guy that was in Twilight, he's just scary, you know, something about him.
About Mary.
Scary. Mm-hmm. Shut the hell up. So there we go.
So you didn't like that? That's a thumbs down.
Huh? Yeah. But, 10 minutes of it and I was done. Wow. Yeah.
I saw The Purge.
You saw The Purge.
Double thumbs up.
You like The Purge.
That was good.
We're here like a year later and finally you see The Purge. I highly recommended it.
It's because the sequel was out and it looked intriguing. And
it was number 10 on my best list.
I could see why. It was really good.
But
very interesting.
But you didn't like the concept of it when you just saw the trailer, right? I think that was the case.
Yeah.
So that's why you decided you didn't want to go see it.
But then it actually, as I thought about it and you see the whole movie, it really... spoke a lot of some unjust things that go on in society, and that's how I came out of that movie. Very interesting. It, you know, talked. I think the underlying message is greed, jealousy, you know, with the neighbors, and the word purge, I think has a different meaning than what most people think if they didn't see the movie. I think there's a certain definition by society saying there's certain groups or certain people that shouldn't be around, and that's probably why the government was allowing 12 hours or whatever it was of killing and so on. And I think that.
And now you're all caught up for Purge 2.
I'm ready for
Anarchy.
Purge 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ready for that.
Yes, we'll have a really big discussion about that.
Yeah, the Purge I saw a couple weeks ago, and yeah, I agree. It was some good stuff.
Yeah.
Excellent. Wow.
Yeah.
Father-son agreement. This
is this
like
is
almost
a first.
A first.
That is
I'm very impressed.
We both like Something About Mary.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mentioned earlier the Brass Teapot. I actually just watched it this week. You know, so I'm trying to like fit in some of these other movies that I missed. But the Brass Teapot is an amazing fairy tale of a movie. I know Eric enjoyed that one as well.
Right. Yeah, that was kind of bizarre. The premise was they found a teapot that they stole the teapot from some antique shop, and every time they hurt themselves, money flew out of it.
Eric, this is very serious. What are you snacking on right now? Oh, he's going away. He's coming back. What are you snacking on right now?
Oh, I'm eating a sausage McMuffin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's very a nice movie about sausages coming up. According to Greg.
Jonah Hill, James Franco, all the good guys in that animated.
And I did see Eric, you're going to like this, the trilogy. Godfather 1, 2, and 3. I did see that.
Brass teapot. Brass teapot again. Would you be willing to hurt yourself for money if you found a teapot? You don't think so?
No.
Depends how much you hurt yourself.
I think it's kind of like cheap thrills.
Are we talking a hockey injury?
The way it worked was the more you hurt yourself, the more money came out.
Yeah. Or later, if you hurt other people.
Right. And so they found really inventive ways to hurt people.
The best part was when they hurt each other emotionally. That was the most brutal, I thought.
Right. That's when more money came out, right?
Yeah. More money came out if you hurt the person emotionally.
Really?
So they start like tearing each other apart. And amazing what people will do to each other.
Yeah.
So for money, or what we'll do to ourselves. So that's kind of the theme of Cheap Thrills.
Wait, breaking news. Does Paige have brownies today? Oh, darn it. I'm hungry. Okay.
But look how beautiful she is.
Yeah, she is.
I told
pretty.
You I have an egg burrito if you want it.
She lights up the room.
Oh, thank you, though.
And I want to mention real quick, again, our contest. Again, strictly Breakthrough Entertainment. Has nothing to do with the KPHX. The phone number is 206-309-9823. 206-309-9823. I want you to call in, leave your name and email address, and you can win one of four passes to see this one-man show, Shatner's World. It's going to be broadcast. It's one night only, broadcast on a few theaters. It's AMC Mesa Grand is the tickets that we're giving away, and we want you to leave your name and email address along with your best William Shatner impression. Leave some sort of poem or haiku or some movie quote, whatever you want to do. Just the most creative ones will win. We'll play some of them on the air. And of course, this was our Phoenix Film Festival special, and we're going to have more about that next week on next week's show. It is our superhero show in honor of Captain America the Winter Soldier.
It looks fantastic.
And, you know, I've already seen it. I'm not going to say anything else about it. But, you know, it's our superhero show. But it's also, we're going to have a lot of guests from Phoenix Film Festival. And then we will be out at the Phoenix Film Festival next Thursday through the following Thursday, April 3rd through 10th. At the Harkins Scottsdale 101, and definitely go and see the movies that we talked about today, 45 RPM, Teddy Bears, Jake Squared, and Life Inside Out. They were all spectacular. Mm-hmm. We will tell you more about those and other movies on next week's show, but taking us out of the show just shortly will be another song about movies, yeah. Saturday Night at the Movies, sung by The Drifters.
Oh. I like the one, you know, the Zamboni song.
Well, you know where you're going to be next Saturday night at 8 p.m., right?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the Phoenix Film Festival, 101 Harkins.
So, I got to sing this one part.
Okay, go ahead.
Neighborhood.
Well, you already had your pass. Well, I'm going to say, joining us at the top of the hour, Real Hockey Talk owner of the Phoenix Coyotes, George Gosby, head coach of the Phoenix Knights Junior A team, of course, out here at Phoenix. Tyler Ramsey will be joining us at 12:30, so a lot coming up here.
Woo-hoo! And we'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.